Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GRP Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harsh Gandhi, Managing Director, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Very good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate your presence on GRP Limited's Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. I'm joined today by our CFO, Ms. Shilpa Mehta, and representatives from SGA, our investor relations advisor. The investor presentation has been uploaded to the stock exchanges and our corporate website, and I trust you have had the opportunity to review it. FY26 represented an important transition year for GRP. While the operating environment remained volatile across global markets, the year was also characterized by significant strategic investments, commissioning of new business platforms, technology transitions in the existing business, and portfolio recalibration initiatives that we believe strengthen GRP's long-term positioning within the circular materials ecosystem. The year was shaped by geopolitical volatility, tariff-related disruptions, fluctuating export markets, elevated raw material costs, and pricing pressures across several segments. Despite these developments, GRP continued to prioritize long-term competitiveness over short-term optimization. Several initiatives progressed from development into commercialization and stabilization during the year under review, while investments across technology, renewable energy, automation, and new business expanded the company's future operating base. Turning to performance, our total income for quarter four stood at 1,450 million, representing a 10% year-on-year contraction, while FY26 income closed at rupees 5,380 million, reflecting a decline of approximately 3% compared to FY25. This moderation reflects a high comparative base of FY25, which had benefited from substantial recognition of EPR credit revenue, including accruals from earlier periods. FY26, in contrast, witnessed persistent softness in export demand shaped by macroeconomic uncertainty and disruptions related to tariffs. EBITDA for Q4 stood at 94 million rupees, while FY26 EBITDA stood at 429 million rupees. The profitability was impacted again by softened export volumes, lower spreads in some product categories, inflationary pressures in key raw material categories, and incubation and scale-up costs associated with the newly commercialized pyrolysis business. Profitability was further impacted by certain one-time and non-operational items, including foreign exchange losses, closure of the polymer composite business following a strategic review, losses during the ramp-up phase of the pyrolysis business, labor code-related provisions, and expenses associated with the proposed QIP process following expiry of approvals without an issuance. Importantly, a significant part of these pressures arose during a period where multiple investments in businesses remained in commissioning, stabilization, or early commercialization phases, while the associated cost base had already been absorbed during FY26. As these businesses stabilize and utilization levels improve, we expect operating leverage across businesses to progressively improve in the medium term. The broader strategic relevance of circular materials continues to strengthen globally. Increasing focus on resource security, import substitution, carbon reduction, and resilient supply chains is accelerating policy support for recycling ecosystems across geographies. In India as well, policy discussions around circular economy and waste tire recycling increasingly recognize the strategic role that GRP as an organization is performing, and GRP remains well positioned within this evolving economic landscape. The external operating environment nevertheless remained difficult during entire FY26. Global tire markets exhibited mixed demand trends, while shifts in the US trade policy disrupted visibility, sourcing patterns, and GRP supply chains. Approximately 33% of reclaimed rubber revenues from key US customers and nearly 44% of associated raw material margins were impacted by tariffs for the year. Following revisions in February, margin impact moderated to around 41%, offering some relief for 2 months out of the 12. Domestically, reclaimed rubber outperformed broader industry trends. Overall, rubber consumption in India grew about 4%, while reclaimed rubber consumption rose by approximately 7% year-on-year basis, with share within the tire industry increasing. In response, the company was able to rebalance its geographic mix and increase focus on the relatively lower margin domestic market to offset softness in the export demand. Export volumes for the company declined by about 15%, while domestic volumes grew nearly 10%, supported by a proactive market development and selective pricing actions. Raw material inflation was another significant impact of a factor that impacting margins during the year. While the company undertook mitigation measures through price actions, inflation was as high as 43% in certain SKUs, resulting in meaningful profitability pressures. Against this backdrop, GRP continued to accelerate its operational and efficiency-led initiatives, which focused on manpower productivity, energy optimization, automation, and transition towards newer technologies. During the year under review, 38% of our capacity has transitioned to this new process platform, with a savings of approximately 5% on the product, while improving consistency, throughput, labor productivity, and also customer acceptance in higher value applications. The company also commercialized its next-gen low-emission reclaimed rubber technology and expanded customer approvals for the same. In addition, it introduced recycled materials designed to improve substitution efficiency and reduce fossil fuel dependence in the formulations for the customers. Geopolitical developments in West Asia, albeit for the last 45 days of the year, contributed to volatility in energy and logistics-related costs during part of the year. However, our investments in biofuel-based heating systems and renewable energy projects has helped us ensure continuity and partially mitigating the fuel cost volatility that the rest of the industry has seen. Within the non-reclaimed portfolio, standalone businesses grew about 13% on a year-on-year basis and 22% on a Q-on-Q basis in Q4. FY26 marked an important transition phase, with several initiatives moving towards commercialization. This is mostly on account of pyrolysis startup during the second half of the year. This startup was commissioning of the continuous pyrolysis operations at the integrated facility in Solapur. While the industry tailwinds in pyrolysis and RCB that are expected to pick up, along with operational stabilization that we have achieved in Q4, Pyrova Energy, as this business is being christened, will significantly strengthen GRP's position within the emerging circular carbon and resource recovery ecosystem. Across our plastic recycling verticals, underlying demand trends from automotive sector remained relatively healthy, supported by domestic auto growth and increasing sustainability focus by OEMs. However, the lower virgin polymer prices and inflow of low-cost imports for polypropylene especially impacted the industry environment. And despite these conditions, we remain positive on the long-term opportunity because as a company, we are also pivoting closer towards the automotive value chain. The customs die-form business demonstrated resilience, and despite the tariffs from the US markets and being dependent on an individual country, we registered a 4% growth in volumes. However, on the other side, as communicated earlier, the company also took a strategic decision to discontinue the polymer composite business, reallocating those resources towards businesses and product categories offering stronger long-term growth and return potential. That was one of the other reasons for the revenue loss as a company as a whole. Speaking of our capital expenditure for the year and growth plans, we have broadly divided our growth CapEx for the Pyrova Energy business in multiple phases. This has been communicated through our investor presentation. Under phase 1A, which was completed up to October 2025, we commissioned India's largest single-line reactor with a capacity of 15,000 tons at the facility in Solapur, along with the integrated crumb rubber facility, which achieved operational stability in only Q4 of FY 2026. Under phase 1B, which is currently underway and likely to be commissioned entirely by February 2027 in phases, we plan to establish a recovered carbon black facility along with expansion of additional lines of tire pyrolysis capacity. Notably, our cumulative investment in the Pyrova Energy platform up to March stands at approximately 79 crores, broadly equivalent to the cumulative EPR income recorded by the company between FY 2024 and 2026, reflecting our approach of reinvesting these EPR inflows towards building future growth platforms and strengthening our long-term presence in the circular economy landscape in the country. A meaningful part of the capital intensity, incubation costs, commissioning expenses, and organizational investments associated with these businesses have already been absorbed. Going forward, our focus will increase towards improved utilization, customer approvals, operational stability, and therefore value realization. As utilization levels improve across reclaimed rubber, continuous pyrolysis, crumb rubber, and the upcoming RCB capacities, we believe these investments position GRP to progressively improve both scale and operating leverage over the coming years. We're targeting a growth capex of approximately 90 to 100 crore during FY27, with continued focus on disciplined deployment and further enhancement of solar and wind energy usage across our operations in Gujarat. Ladies and gentlemen, FY26 was undoubtedly a demanding year for both the industry and GRP. However, periods of volatility also create opportunities to strengthen our competitive positioning, build our capabilities, and prepare for the next cycle of growth, which we believe at GRP we are at an inflection point for. While the near-term environment may continue to remain dynamic, we believe the underlying direction of the industry remains strongly favorable, and our focus therefore remains clear: disciplined execution, operational stability, prudent capital allocation, and converting the investments made over the last few years into sustainable long-term growth and profitability. Lastly, I am pleased to share that the board of directors of the company has recommended a dividend of 3.5 rupees per equity share, in line with our payout policy as a percentage of profit, subject to approval of all shareholders at the ensuing AGM. With this, let me hand over the call to Shilpa to take you through the financial highlights.
Good evening, everyone. Let me start with Q4 FY26 performance highlights. Total income for Q4 FY26 stood at rupees 1450 million as compared to rupees 1606 million in Q4 of FY25, reflecting a decline of 10% year-on-year basis. The base quarter had benefited from higher EPR credit recognition, with EPR gains of rupees 305 million in Q4 of FY25 compared to rupees 66 million in Q4 of FY26. That is reflected in gross profit and EBITDA as well. In addition to this, income decline reason is continued pressure in export demand across certain key markets amid global but macroeconomic and tariff-related challenges. Gross profit for Q4 of FY26 was at rupees 666 million as compared to rupees 936 million in Q4 of FY25. While gross margins stood at 46% for the quarter, margins were impacted primarily due to adverse product mix, export-related pressures, and continued volatility in raw material costs across select categories. EBITDA for Q4 FY26 is at rupees 94 million as compared to rupees 331 million in Q4 of FY25. EBITDA margins for Q4 of FY26 is at 7% as compared to 21% in Q4 of FY25. The decline was largely attributable to lower gross margins, weaker export volumes, initial scale-up cost in newer businesses, and impact of subdued operating leverage during the quarter. The company reported a loss of rupees 13 million for Q4 of FY26 at PAT level. Our subsidiaries, GCSL and GSPL, reported combined income of rupees 48 million during the quarter, with an incurred loss of rupees 12 million. However, these businesses continue to scale and stabilize operations. We expect them to contribute meaningfully to profitability over the medium term. Now coming to FY26 performance highlights, which is annual highlights. Total income for FY26 stood at rupees 5380 million as compared to rupees 5518 million in FY25, reflecting a decline of 3% year-on-year basis. Again, this is the same reason of APR credit recognition, which was recognized in Q4 of FY25 for past period. That is coming to APR credit recognition during FY26 stood at rupees 202 million, whereas the same was rupees 434 million in FY25. So that reflects the 214 million of prior period accruals considered in Q4 of FY25, creating a higher base for comparison. The year continued to witness softer export demand, tariff-related disruptions, and pricing across certain businesses. Gross profit for FY26 stood at rupees 2637 million as compared to rupees 2980 million in FY25, while gross margins stood at 49% as compared to 54% in FY25. Margins were impacted primarily due to pressure on export realizations, raw material volatility, and lower spreads across select businesses. EBITDA for FY26 stood at rupees 429 million as compared to rupees 694 million in FY25. EBITDA margins for FY26 is at 8% as compared to 13% in FY25. Adjusted profit after tax for FY26 stood at rupees 46 million after accounting for one-time impact related to labor code implementation, amounting to rupees 14 million. Other one-time impacts during the year included discontinuation of operations within the polymer composite business, resulting in a write-off of rupees 79 lakhs. Additionally, expense of 42 lakhs were incurred towards QIP process following expiry of approvals without issuance. The company also incurred forex-related losses of rupees 41 million during the year. Pyrova business commercialization phase resulted in EBITDA and PAT loss of rupees 24 million and rupees 85 million, respectively, during the year from September 25 onwards. Our subsidiaries, GCSL and GSPL, reported combined income of rupees 211 million during the quarter, during the year, with an incurred loss of rupees 47 million. The company's debt-to-equity ratio stood at 1.15 in FY26 as compared to 0.76 in FY25, primarily on account of strategic growth, CapEx, and investments in new business initiatives. In addition, the board has recommended a dividend of rupees 3.5 per share for FY26, representing 35% of the face value, subject to shareholder approval. This reflects our continued commitment towards delivering long-term value to shareholders while maintaining the financial discipline and investing in future growth opportunities. With this, I now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Tanmay Gulecha with 360 ONE. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yeah, hi, I wanted to ask how much the one-time loss we accounted for from the polymer composite business in Q4?
It is 79 lakh on account of actual write-off, but business-wise also could be notionally, it could be to the tune of 40 to 50 lakhs more.
Okay. And considering crude prices are so high, did we benefit while selling the pyrolysis oil? Were the realizations higher on that side? And does that continue to happen in Q1 and Q2?
As far as pyro oil is concerned, Tanmay, I think we got some benefit as far as March is concerned because there was the impact was only to that extent limited to the month of March. In this quarter, yes, we are seeing a realization which is higher than what we saw in more or less October to Feb of last year, meaning October 25 to Feb 26, whatever we saw as the realization. Definitely in this quarter, we are seeing it marginally higher than that. But, you know, the demand for fuel oil in the country is mostly in the road surfacing industry. And while oil prices are up, the road construction activity in the country is down on account of bitumen non-availability due to the West Asia conflict. So there has been some sort of impact on volumes, even though the price is, you know, marginally better than that.
Can we quantify net margins for our different business segments, the RR and non-RR?
Come back again. What's the specific question?
Can we quantify the margins we estimate for FY27 for each business segment that we have?
I think the segment reporting is done in accordance with the you know, stock exchange requirements. So at that at the moment, the segment reporting and the margin is provided on that basis in the stock exchange financials.
Yeah, no, I'm asking for the estimate of FY27. Where do you see margins?
I mean, again, not been giving too much in terms of the guidances in that sense. But yeah, I mean, we're seeing the reclaimed rubber margin actually through most of 2026 has been, you know, impacted on account of the split between domestic and exports. If you see, the export revenue has dipped by about 11-12%, while domestic revenue has grown by about 11%. But as we keep saying that the domestic margins are lower by about 200-250 basis points over the export margins typically. And so therefore, to that extent, the overall margin number has been lower. As we attempt to recapture the lost export share and assuming that we get back to the similar levels of higher of export revenue from past, I would imagine that the restoration of the margins will happen through this year as far as the reclaimed rubber is concerned. And this is mainly because the US volume that was lost is starting to come back, and we're expecting that that will be entirely restored in FY27. So that's as far as reclaim is concerned. As far as the other non-reclaim businesses are concerned, again, as mentioned earlier on the call, the pyrolysis business, while is now stable, is continuing to only supply to the fuel oil sector. The margins will be meaningfully impacted once the recovered carbon black facility is operational, which is likely to be in the second half of the year.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta with Max Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir. So firstly, you have indicated that U.S. tariff-related disruption impacted the reclaimed rubber revenues materially this year in FY26. Now, since tariff conditions you've seen improving since February onwards, what has been the kind of recovery trend that we have seen in exports and customer order inflows since that time during April and May now? So how has the customer engagements been since the tariff situation started easing?
Sure. Do you have any other questions more? So I can sort of take them all up together, or I'll be happy to answer this one.
Yes, yes. So I'll just add one more. So you also highlighted meaningful, lot of margin pressure due to elevated RM cost in the key reclaim grades. So I just wanted to get a sense of, have the RM cost stabilized now, and how much pricing pass-through has been achieved, in quarter one so far. And lastly, just what is the kind of incremental EPR income that we can generate from the new pyrolysis and RCB capacities? So those are my questions.
Thank you. So I'll answer each of these. As far as EPR, and I'll go backwards as far as the questions are concerned. As far as the EPR income from pyrolysis is concerned, we're awaiting certain government approvals for the project, before which the grant of the EPR credits will accrue to us. So as of now, the numbers do not accrue, include accrual of EPR revenue for the year of FY26. We will accrue the income only once the approval from the PCB comes through for the particular unit. Given that there are delays as far as the portal is concerned, we are expecting and hoping that within the next couple of weeks, we will have the approvals in place, and as a result, accrual on a retrospective basis for the entire pyrolysis business will be accounted for either in this quarter or in Q2, which will be in H1. So definitely by H1, the EPR income will get accrued. As far as the quantum of credits is concerned, I think there's a detailed slide explaining the extent of credits that we would generate, and because this is a continuous plant of producing both pyrolysis oil as well as the char to begin with, we will generate credits at the rate of 0.8% in terms of the weightage after the conversion factor. As and when we build the RCB business and we are able to successfully sell that to the tire companies, then the weightages change for the char which is converted to RCB, and the revenues from that will be proportionately higher. So hopefully that answers the question on the EPR. As far as the RM margin part is concerned, I maintained that on multiple calls that this is a particular SKU where we've seen a 43% increase in the RM cost. And that led to a margin erosion for most of Q2, Q3 and part of Q4. We were able to sort of restore it because there was some sort of softening of that particular product category in Q4, but post-February. However, on the other side, I maintain that some of our major sales of that particular SKU is to tire companies where we have either annual or half-yearly contracts when it comes to pricing, and therefore our inability to pass the pricing is where we kind of took a hit on the margins. But to answer your question, as far as the margin is concerned, it has been now entirely factored into our cost structure, and the revised pricing starting April 27 captures the entire April 26 captures the entire impact of the raw material costs. So going forward in this financial year, at least as things stand right now, the pass through of the margins has been pass through of the costs has been entirely obtained by way of price increases. Your last question, or which was your first question, and I'm taking it last, is the impact of the U.S. tariffs. The impact of the U.S. tariffs on volumes was on two counts. One is direct exports to the U.S., which we had a direct hit and reduction in volumes. But there was also an indirect hit on volumes to countries where we exported, and tire companies use those as base for export of tires into North America. I mean, and these are countries like Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, where we supplied a lot of our reclaim to, and that then in turn produced tires were sold in the North American markets. So as far as recovery is concerned, we've more or less recovered the entire volume that was lost in North America directly. However, some part of the indirect volume that was lost has come back, but a large part of that indirect volume is not recovered yet. On the overall front, however, because we were able to offset this and grow in the domestic market, as things stand today, our order book as of now is much stronger and higher than what we've had for most part of FY26 on account of this new business and the recovery in the North American markets. I hope that answers the three questions that you put out.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you and wishing you all the very best.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Divya Agarwal from FICOM Family Office. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So, sir, I'll list down my questions and then maybe you can answer it.
Sure.
First question is, in the presentation you've mentioned that you have spent around 170 crores on CapEx from FY24 to 26. So can you help us with the breakup in terms of how much went to the pyrolysis plant, the new RF plant and other segments as well? A detailed breakdown would be very helpful, sir. Secondly, on the pyrolysis side, what was the revenue contribution from the crumb rubber and TPO in Q3 versus Q4, FY26? And specifically on the TPO side, I wanted to ask, can you throw some color on the feedback received from the petrochem players on the usage of GRP's TPO? And what is the strategy for maintaining the consistency of the TPO grade, and where are we right now in terms of the customer approval in terms of TPO? Next, in terms of the prices of oil that has gone up, so I think the TPO prices might have also gone up. So just wanted to know what margins can we expect from the TPO business. And lastly, on the new RF side, what has been the adoption and feedback from the customers?
Sorry, can you repeat the last part? What is it? The new what?
New reclaimed rubber. The new reclaimed rubber. The new technology reclaimed rubber that we produce. What has been the adoption and feedback from the customers?
Can I just summarize your questions? Because I see five questions. Sure. Just want to make sure I don't miss anything. First question was on a breakup of the capex of the 170. The second is standalone. How is the TPO crumb in charge or the whole pyro value chain doing as a business in terms of stabilization? Third was within that TPO prices are moving up. How is or rather oil prices are moving up? What is the correlation on the TPO prices? Fourth question was feedback on customer approvals and the petrochemical industry. Feedback
on the TPO. Yeah.
On the TPO, and the last is on the new reclaimed rubber. Right.
Assuming
I've captured everything. So as far as I'll not do it in any particular order, but one is that the TPO crumb and char, as I mentioned, that the stability in the operations is kind of coming in, or rather has come in entirely. We are kind of operating at beyond 85% utilization on a monthly basis, which is equal to or ahead of what our expectation as far as the plant is concerned. And therefore, that stability is now kind of helping us with better predictability around the product as well as the processes. I think we have, therefore, a good sense of what we need to do in terms of changes from the original configuration to what is required when it comes to the new lines that we sort of invest in. As far as feedback from, or rather, as far as the TPO itself is concerned, the current market is a combination of three outlets. One is in the fuel sector and used again either as a replacement to FO, mainly in the road construction industry, used in industrial furnaces as fuel, and third is the petchem value chain. As far as the first is concerned, I mentioned it to another question that there is softness in demand for road construction, so therefore there is some sort of demand drop in there, but the prices remain comparable to how, or rather behave in similar fashion to how FO and FO prices are moving. As far as the industrial furnaces are concerned, there is still some work to be done to improve the properties of the product to kind of be able to use as the fuel for industrial furnaces. And we are more or less close to achieving those specs, and we are in the validation with several customers for use in the industrial furnace application. As far as petchem is concerned, it will be a longer wait. Our approvals are ongoing. Conversations with several in the petchem value chain have been initiated. Sampling is ongoing. And as and when there is success, we will sort of announce that as well. As far as the new reclaimed rubber is concerned, approvals are coming through, trickling in slowly but surely. Customers are taking a slow approach in improving or increasing the volumes. But we have committed to add another line because we have seen the traction on ground. So therefore, by end of first quarter, another line of that new technology will be commissioned in the same location in Solapur. And with that, the two lines together will get to a capacity of closer to 700 tons a month from the current about 350 tons a month. So that is a positive development. Utilization is moving up. We're not close to the 90% yet, but we have adequate visibility of orders, and therefore we sort of decided to go ahead and add the other lines. And the last part is, you know, the breakup of the capex. I would say roughly 50% of the capex has been spent on the Pyrova energy business. Roughly about 30 to 35%, if I may, is in the reclaimed rubber in terms of this new capacity expansion as well as the new technology that we have put in. And roughly about the balance, about 15 odd percent is in other businesses, including in the energy space, because we have invested in SPV for power offtake in Solapur and in Ankleshwar and Panoli, which will be set up towards the second half of this year. But investments to that have also been made, and these are mostly in solar and wind energy investments, in addition to some amount of investment for the plastic business as well, mostly for debottlenecking and so on. So that's broadly the breakup of the 170 that has been spent over the last 3 years, FY 24, 25 and 26. I think I've answered all your questions.
Yes, sir. So just a follow-up on this. So on the TPO side, sir...
Wait, can I request for a follow-up to be taken up later? I think I've given enough time that maybe more people waiting in the queue. You can come back once the...
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Our next question comes from the line of Rajvi Shah from Bright Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just have two questions. The first one
sorry to interrupt, Rajvi, but you have a lot of disturbance in the background.
Am I audible now?
Ma'am, you are audible, but there's a lot of disturbance in the background.
Now is it better?
Alright, please go ahead.
Yeah, so my first question was that you discontinued the polymer composites for drug manufacturing business due to weak viability. Are there any other non-core or low-return segments under strategic review? And the second question I had was that over...
I'm really sorry, Rajvi, but I didn't follow the first part of the question. I did pick up till the time you said that you closed the polymer composite business, but I missed the part after that. Can you please repeat?
So I had to say you discontinued the polymer composite contract manufacturing business due to the weak viability. Are there any other non-core or low return segments under strategic review? This is the first question. And the second one is, over FY24 to FY26, the company generated nearly 79 crore of ETR income. As pyrolysis, scrum rubber and PR RCBE capacity scale up further, how should we think about the long-term contribution of ETR and revenues to the overall profit?
Again, I'm sorry if I didn't follow the last part. You mentioned something about 79 crore of EPR and investment, but I didn't catch the rest. I'm sorry, could you get to a more clearer line or place, because very difficult to pick up, but I'll attempt to answer your first question in the meantime, which is on polymer composite. Yes, we closed down the polymer composite because of the weak viability, mostly to do with the tariffs from North America. And for the period of time where it was at 50%, the customer of ours decided to relocate. So by the time the decision to sort of rescind the tariffs came, which was in the month of February, the call on closure of the business had already been taken, and therefore the equipment had already been moved out, and therefore the plant of that particular business was already shut down. Are there any other non-core businesses that are under review along similar lines? Answer is no. I think we're clear that the plastic, which is a combination of nylon and polypropylene, will continue to sort of will require some patience, but have a strong potential, and therefore we continue to maintain our position there. Reclaimed rubber, of course, continues to be the mainstay, and therefore we are strengthening technology and making the processes more efficient. And the newer business is the energy business, Pyrova, as we're calling it. Obviously, it's too early to say that we're doing any review because that's a business that we have extreme confidence in. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, sir. Just one more question, if I have one. That over FY 24 to 26, the company generated nearly 79 crore of EPR income. As pyrolysis, crown rubber, and RCB capacity scale up further, how should we think about the long-term contribution of EPR-linked revenue to overall profits?
Sure. No, so again, I think we put out for the first time the capacity aspirations or targets that we have in our investor deck on this entire business. And I guess, you know, part of it will be towards crown, and the rest of it would be from pyrolysis in the sense that we will produce the TPO, char and carbon black out of it. At this stage, it is very difficult to estimate what will be the percentage mix of crown, char, TPO and RCB and steel. So therefore, a little difficult to be estimate. But yes, there will be a meaningful impact and meaningful contribution of the EPR income coming in from there with the due weightage for these materials and at the due conversion factor, which is be at about 0.8, which in Reclaim's case, we have at about 1.3 times is the conversion factor. As far as pyrolysis oil and char is concerned, the weightage would be at about 0.8. And the conversion factor would be roughly, I think, one and a half times or thereabouts. So you can estimate on that basis. But at this stage, we are not in a position to give you a complete breakup of percentage volume of char, pyro, oil and crumb rubber.
Okay, sir. That is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Jigar Shah with Elevate. Please go ahead. Jigar Shah, your line has been unmuted. You may proceed with your question.
Yes, yes. Sorry, sir. So good evening. I just had a couple of questions. Sir, how should we think about the demand recovery in the engineering plastics and repurposed polyolefins business over the next 12 months? I mean, which end user industry are we, which end user segments are showing the strongest traction currently?
I think I mentioned in the thing, but it's clearly automotive. It's driving the demand there. Both, in fact, in PP as well, while packaging demand continues to be steadily growing, as I've indicated in the past, margins from the packaging sector are fairly low, and therefore our pivot towards automotive is starting to help us. And we are seeing the strongest demand coming in from automotive. I think there's enough in literature out there to figure out that automotive industry is coming under EPR, wherein there will be mandates on use of circular materials within vehicles. And I think that is driving a lot of projects on ground with several OEs, and that in some ways we are seeing as likely offshoots of demand growth for us. Within the plastic ecosystem, if you look at an automotive, polypropylene and nylon are the top two polymers, or rather top two plastics that are used in a vehicle. So clearly, as the drive towards circularity in the automotive space increases, demand for recycled polypropylene and recycled nylon, which is polyamide, will be the strongest, and that's what we are banking on.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, secondly, the low cost Chinese imports continue to impact recycled polyolefins. So, I mean, has the competitive intensity worsened further post Q4, or are the spreads beginning to stabilize?
Didn't follow that entirely. Can you please repeat that question, Jigar?
Yeah. So, I wanted to ask that you mentioned that low cost Chinese imports continue to impact recycled polyolefins. So, has the competitive intensity worsened or worsened post Q4, or are the spreads beginning to stabilize?
No, so when I said the imports, the Chinese imports, I meant the Chinese imports of virgin polypropylene has been very, very aggressive as far as India is concerned. So, as a result, virgin polypropylene prices have dropped, and that is the reason why the competitiveness of recycled material vis-a-vis the virgin polypropylene, that delta had reduced or diminished, and that's the reason that our margins as well as the volumes took a hit on the PP side. And this is mostly true for the packaging sector, which is honestly a little, I would say, less stringent in terms of the quality expectations compared to automotive. I'm not saying that it's poor quality or inferior quality, but ability for the packaging industry to absorb the Chinese material was far greater, and that affected both the demand as well as margins for that portion of the business.
Got it. And sir, what is the normalized EBITDA margin post Pyrova stabilization and export recovery?
I think when you talk about Pyrova stabilization, there's again happening in phases. As I mentioned, first phase was the one line of the reactor. The next phase, which will be in this year, will be the setup of the recovered carbon black, and thereafter the additional lines of reactor capacity that will come through. So net-net, the full year effect of that will kind of be known only in FY28. But we are expecting that the Pyrova Energy as a business in itself will be high double-digit EBITDA margins is the expectation. And overall benefit on the reclaim will also come through because of the synergy of raw materials, and therefore there's expectation of a few hundred basis point improvement in the reclaim rubber EBITDA margin as well. So that's the outlook as far as I can see it, and as far as we are aiming for. And I would say the full impact will be all available in FY28. Of course, some improvement will also already be seen in FY27 as the utilization improves.
Got it, sir. And just last question from my end. I mean, with a targeted FY27 capex of around 9,200 crores and a bit subdued profitability currently, how should one think about funding, internal accruals or incremental debt or strategic partnerships or maybe even QIP?
So I think as of now, as things stand right now, and I think Shilpa has taken you guys through the debt EBITDA as well as the serviceability ratio. I think our serviceability ratio remains fairly strong. So at this stage, there's no major pressure as far as the balance sheets are concerned. We do have unutilized limits from the loan sanctioned by DFI Proparco. And as a result, we will use prudent mix of both that debt as well as internal accruals. We have some amount of EPR credits that remain unsold, which we could sort of also trigger for sale, and as a result, be able to realize cash. So there's comfort on the cash flow. There's no pressure as far as the cash flows are concerned.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ritesh Puladia with Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just on APR, what's the APR credit in the balance sheet? Also, what are the prices going for the APR credits? Second, on pyrolysis oil, you said you are right now usage is more into the road construction, but I believe it can be for the industrial fuel in cement, steel and power companies also. So what are the changes to be done, or how this pyrolysis oil application moves? Also, if you can give us the capacity once the entire capex is over by February 2027, so we can have some idea on the EPR credit? These are the three questions.
Thank you so much. So I'll again answer these in repeat. As far as the capacity is concerned, after all of these investments, again, we put out that we are adding two reactors of pyrolysis, which will take us to about 45,000 tons of pyrolysis capacity. And our recovered carbon black facility that is being set up is at is about 12,000 tons. So roughly, you know, give or take, with the pyrolysis process, roughly 40 to 45% after removal of the steel, between 42 to 45% is the generation of oil, about 40% is the generation of char, which part of it will get covered, will get converted to recovered carbon black. And we do have surplus crumb rubber capacity as well, because our crumb rubber capacity is in excess of 45,000 tons. It will be closer to about 65,000 tons. So that's the broad breakup after this phase of expansion or this phase of Solapur capex is concerned, is completed. To go back to your question on the EPR pricing, I think the EPR credit pricing remains at more or less the floor price at the moment, which is at about 2.52 rupees a kg. And we are we have contracts with several tire company customers for quarterly sales of such credits. We do have some credits that we prefer to sell on the spot market. So while I would say about 85% of our credits just generated are contracted, about 15% of our credits remain open on the spot market, and we trigger sales based on cash flow and pricing requirements. Your question was whether there's any EPR credit sitting on the balance sheet. Answer is no. We kind of are accruing everything in the income, so more or less everything is reflected in the in the balance sheet on an accrual basis, but is also in the revenue portion. And the most important and interesting question that you asked on the oil application, in fact, I mentioned this when somebody else asked the question, the current TPO has three applications I mentioned: road surfacing, industrial fuel, and the petchem value chain. And I think the value accreditation or value accrual will be based on those three. I mean, with the road construction activity and being sold in that segment will be the lowest price point, moving up the price point when it is used in the industrial furnaces and boilers, and then even higher if it is used in the petchem value chain. At the moment, we are able to sell it to the fuel market, but in the industrial furnaces and steel plants and cement plants, as you mentioned, there is some amount of refining required to move up the value chain through upgradation of the flash point and reduction of the sulfur and so on. We've achieved that in the process. We are in the process of homologation and validation. So I mentioned this to one of the other speakers as well, that we will soon start to recognize or start to sell some amount of our TPO to that sector as well. As far as the petchem is concerned, the approval process and cycles are a little longer. So as and when we do get those approvals, as I mentioned, we will make those announcements to the investors at appropriate time. But yes, efforts are being made to upgrade the TPO such that it is usable in the petchem value chain as well. And when I say petchem value chain, it could go straight away into the refinery or for manufacturing of carbon black or for production of certain type of specialized polymers as well. And we are exploring and working closely with companies across all three petchem value chain players.
Sir, just one addition to this. Sir, if road sector application is X, what can be a realization for petchem?
Too early to predict, given the way oil prices itself are changing. So, I mean, you know, earlier the delta between FO, LSHS, which is the diesel, and then the NAFTA or CBFS, which is carbon black feedstock, there was a lot of predictability, and the delta between each of these different product categories was more or less fixed. Given the way the geopolitics is, from what I understand, and pardon my ignorance or pardon my limited knowledge, but the understanding is that those deltas are no longer the same as they used to be until a few months ago, because the crude availability from different parts of the world is changing. So given that context, I mean, it's very difficult for me to put out how many X of the FO price or, you know, what the percentage to FO price versus LSHS price versus CBFS price etc. But broadly, when one looks at replacing in the petchem value chain, you're looking at an equivalent of a naphtha or CBFS. When you're looking at an industrial fuel, you're looking at an equivalent of an LSHS comparison. And when you're looking at road construction, you're looking at an FO equivalent. So that's broadly the benchmarks, but the delta within those are changing quite dramatically. So very tough to put a number to this.
Yeah, that helps. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you again for the call. Again, as I mentioned, but I'd like to reiterate that FY 2026 has been a challenging year in terms of short-term performance, but our belief continues to grow stronger for each of the three businesses that we are sort of building the long-term play for. And therefore, with that conviction, we continue to invest in the CapEx to ensure that the long-term plans continue to be adhered to, even though there will be short-term blips on account of externalities which are beyond our control. But thank you for the support, understanding, and the depth of questions that are being raised every conference call. It gives us a lot to think about as well. Thank you again.
Thank you. On behalf of GRP Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.